The one who would trust Christ as Savior has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The law cannot redeem, good works cannot redeem, but Jesus Christ can. Jesus came to give his life as a payment, as a ransom for sin. You're well aware of that, I think. Ultimately, the battle that's going on in this book, as Paul writes, there are false teachers that have come into the lives of these first century believers. They're proclaiming a gospel not of grace but of law, and they're striving to place those who have been saved back under the law and teaching others that in order to be right with God, you need to practice the law, embrace it, and so forth. I came across a picture. This isn't a picture I came across, but I saw something like this some time ago at a conference and did some looking around and wanted to show you this, but this is it's kind of the battle that was going on. You see grace there. You see this relationship. But there's a hand that's sliding around the backside. That represents the law. It's sort of a fractured relationship. There's not the way it's supposed to be. That's a battle going on in the book of Galatians. Paul has, he began this letter just a little bit to catch up here. He introduced himself and he proclaimed the gospel in that first chapter. Talked about those are cursed who proclaim anything other than the gospel of Christ. Then that first chapter, like in verse 11 right through chapter 2, Paul's defending his apostleship, that he is an apostle and thereby capable of writing and teaching and leading and speaking to this church in Galatia. As we really in the last part of chapter 2, but pick it up here in chapter 3 and 4, it's about how can a person be right with God? How can one be justified before God? Is it by faith in Christ and keeping some aspect of the law? Is it by faith in Christ and doing good works? Is it by faith in Christ and something else? Or is it by faith in Christ alone? And that's where he's at with this. And if you remember that chapter 3, the first part of that chapter, Paul just asked a question. Hey, when you got saved, was that by keeping the law or was that through the Spirit, through faith in Christ? And he talked to them about that. So he looked at their experience. Now, experience isn't everything, but when it aligns with the work of God, with the Word of God, it can be helpful. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at justification by faith alone. And Paul basically says, hey, listen, you Judaizers, you false teachers, you know the Old Testament. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to prove to you that it's by faith alone and Christ alone, and we're going to look back at an Old Testament character, Abraham, and understand how he was declared right by God. Was it by faith or was it by law? We saw it was by faith. Here we're continuing, and apostles using the Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures, and he's going to really look at the cursed here, and he's going to look at the blessed. And verses 10 to 12 describe the cursed or the condemned. And let's pick it up there again. For as many are the works of the law are under curse, for as written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the law, in the book of the law, to perform them. And so he begins there. Cursed is a divine judgment by God that brings the condemnation of man. The Holy Spirit is speaking through the apostle, and he's just laying this out for us to see. Now, it says as many, and that's referring to individuals who are attempting to gain a righteous standing before God by keeping the law. The NIV is helpful here. If you have an NIV, it begins this way. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. The New American Standard says for as many. But it has that idea that these individuals are in a place where they're condemned. Those who are relying on a law-based righteousness, what does God's word say? They are cursed. That's pretty powerful stuff. So here we begin with those who are cursed, condemned. Who are they? They are those who are relying upon a law-based righteousness or any other righteousness. Maybe it's a church-based righteousness. I go to this church, therefore I'm right with God. Maybe it's something I've experienced that I've had with God. I had this so-called vision, or it seemed to me that way, so I'm okay with God. No, it's anyone who is not relying on Christ. And it's helpful. Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 27, 26 here. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. See, that's what this law is about. It's about doing. Doing, doing, doing. Again, the problem is not the law. Who is it? It's us. It's man. Because we do not keep it all. We don't keep it all perfectly. That's the problem. So those who strive to adhere to the law for salvation are cursed. They are condemned. And the outworking of that is eternal condemnation under the wrath of God forever, separated from him. Now, that's, I believe, as clear as it gets. Now, this is why it's so essential to get the gospel of grace right. This is why Paul wrote the way he did in Galatians 1, 8 through 9. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we've said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Paul's not playing around. It's nothing to play around with. There is a gospel of grace, and there's a lot of other stuff that's not the gospel at all. We need to get it right. Now, let's consider this. To remain in a state of unbelief, to trust in something other than Jesus Christ alone for salvation, well, John 3:36 speaks to that. He who believes in Son has eternal life. Praise God. Amen. He who believes, faith, trust, to rely upon the Son, have eternal life. That's for anyone and everyone. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Christ calls us to faith in him. Come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You know, to reject that is to reject the grace of God, is to reject the gift of salvation he offers. So there's good news. Good news is that in Christ we've escaped the wrath to come. And we have to get the gospel right. In Christ we've escaped that condemnation that is there. I love how the apostle writes to the believers in Thessalonica, verses 9 and 10 of that first chapter. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead. That's Jesus Christ, who rescues us from what? The wrath to come. See, in Christ we've been rescued, dramatically rescued. That's why I believe as we look at this letter, and we see such strong words that Paul used in verses 8 and 9. Let them be accursed, those who proclaim a different gospel, because souls are at stake for all eternity. And we need to get this right. And it's a battle. This was going on in the first century. It's just multiplied today. So it's faith alone in Christ alone. Now, you may read this book, and you may wonder why the Holy Spirit led the apostle to tackle justification by faith alone in Christ alone so extensively. I don't know if you've thought about that. I have. In other words, why not conclude with a thought like this from Galatians 2:16? We're looking beyond that now, and the arguments are continuing. Galatians 2:16, nevertheless knowing that a man is justified, declared right by God, but not by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Now that's a mic drop to me. I mean, he just said it so clearly. So why spend all this time, all these words, tackling this? Why not go directly to chapters 5 and 6 where we really see, okay, the outworking of this, faith in Christ alone, I'm saved, I'm his, the righteousness of Jesus is on my life. Why not just sort of skip chapters 3 and 4 and go right to 5 and 6 with practical Christian living? Why not? And as I was reading this, I was asking myself this. Well, I'll tell you why. Because it is vital that we understand justification. It is absolutely critical that we get this one thing right. You know the question everyone's asking that's out there today? How can I be right with God? People are asking that question, and people are answering that question. All of you here, all those online, you have an answer to that question. Your answer needs to be in Christ alone. The answer needs to be, how can a person be right with God? It's through faith in Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He is the ultimate sacrifice, the one true sacrifice that makes a way for any sinner to be right with God. That's why. That's why. So we can't afford to get this wrong. If we do, eternity weighs in the balance. What's going on in this text? Well, the false teachers were trying to persuade believers in Galatia to revert back to the law, and were using the law to claim that one is right before God by adhering to it. Additionally, if one's salvation is genuine, they would claim that you needed to go back. If you're going to make progress in your walk with Christ, you need to go back under the law. And Paul is taking the argument. He's looking at their argument, and he's giving truth after truth after truth from the life of Abraham, from the Old Testament scriptures. He's giving fact upon fact upon fact. Beyond a reasonable doubt is where he will bring them, that it is through faith in Christ alone. He stepped back in the Old Testament to prove that the law was never intended nor capable of bringing either life or justification. That was not the purpose of the law. It's not what it was about. I would think for most of you today that you would understand that a sinner cannot be justified by the works of the law or any other work. But we need to see it. We need to look at it. We need to have clarity in this doctrine. So I hope you understand it clearly. And if you do, praise God. But I want you to know this, that wasn't the case for Paul's audience. And that is not the case for most people today. So, David Levy, writer, he's got a great commentary on the book of Galatians. He says something I think really nails the subject. The Judaizers believed that those who kept the law would receive blessings and approval from God. The apostle marshaled a direct attack against that position by showing that the law brought the opposite results, a curse and condemnation. That's what the law brings. Now, there is something within the heart of man whereby he desires to present something of his own to God. Something whereby, hey, I've got something, God, here I am. Good outweighs the bad, I'm okay with you. There's that within us. That is just the heart of man. Verse 11, look what it says. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. If you mark your Bible, that would be a great verse to mark. No one. How many are justified by the law? No one. How many in all of human history have been justified by striving to keep the law? No one. No one. Why is this evident? Well, he finishes with, again, a quote from Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right with him, but the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous man lives by faith, by belief, by trust. And now, you might say, if I'm going to do the law, I believe it, so that's by faith. I am doing that by faith. I'm walking by faith doing that. Well, Leviticus 8:5. So, and that's where Paul goes next. However, verse 12, the law is not of faith. the law is not on faith. On the contrary, who practices them shall live after them. So Leviticus 18:5, that's where he quotes from. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I'm the Lord. See, this is what the law says to you and I, do. You do. Here it is. Do it. Do it. Do it. And by the way, our God is holy. He's righteous. And if we are going to be right with him, if we think, well, through the law, I can do that, you would have to keep it perfectly all the time, 24/7, until the end of your life. How many of you have ever been able to do that? How many could? That's why it says no one. No one. So Paul just takes the argument up. He goes back to the word. It's doing the law, not believing that God requires. The law must be kept perfectly, perfectly all the time. You can't mess up on one bit of it because God requires perfect holiness. James has something to say about this, and this just, whenever I think about the law, I think about what he said. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. Again, the law was not given to give man a righteous standing before God. That's not what it's about. No one can do it perfectly. As a result, a legalist who attempts to be justified by the law is not blessed, but cursed. We are looking at the cursed. He's attempting to do something that the law was never given for. Now, the cross of Christ, Jesus proclaimed from the cross, not do, but it's done. It's finished. The law says do and live. Jesus says it's done, believe, and receive eternal life. Let's review. The cursed man finds himself in this situation because he's attempting to do something that's impossible, adhere to the law perfectly. In other words, he's attempting to gain a right standing with God by practicing the law. Let me reiterate here, that is not why the law was given, and no man can live up to that. We've taken note of the cursed. Let's take a deep breath now. Let's go to the blessed. Let's look at the blessed man. Look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Paul's saying us, me, believers. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here's the blessed. By the way, you're one of these two people. There's not an in-between. What a contrast is set before us. There are those that are blessed. Those that are free from the perfection demanded by the law and its condemnation. And verse 13 begins with our Lord. I love how it starts. This darkness, this heaviness, this I'm under a curse, this is a place of no hope, the law is condemning me. But then Christ, verse 13, what a picture of freedom that is given us here. The promised one, Christ who came, who died, rose again. The Lamb of God who shed his blood for my redemption. He did that for us. He set us free from the demands of the law by becoming a curse for us. Now redeemed, it's to purchase. It's what it means to buy back. Again, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, and that in order that in Christ the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Christ redeemed. That word redeemed, it's beautiful. This particular word in the original pictures the purchasing of a slave's freedom. And just as a slave was bought out of slavery to freedom, those in Christ have been purchased out of the curse of the law to freedom in Christ. Amen? Amen. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject in it again to a yoke of slavery. That's the law. Not so long ago, we studied the life of Moses. It was during his lifetime that the law was given to the people of God. Now, I want to remind you that God called Moses to deliver those people, the Hebrews, the nation of Israel, from Pharaoh, who had enslaved them for over 400 years. And God, if you remember, brought 10 plagues to bring Pharaoh to his knees, whereby he would voluntarily release the Israelites. Do you remember that last plague? To escape death, God's people were told to kill a lamb. They were to take its blood, apply it to the lintel and the doorpost. When the angel of death saw the blood, he would pass over. That's where Passover began, celebrated by Israel. Now, the Hebrews were redeemed by the blood of the lamb. If you remember Exodus 11, 21, 23, the instruction given, Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that's in the basin to the lintel, to the doorpost, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning." They acted in faith. They believed. When the nation of Israel was given the law, they'd already been redeemed. You remember that? So here you have the Passover lamb, and they followed that. They were a redeemed people before the law. It's a beautiful picture of the work of Christ. So, again, I want to go back to the law a minute. They were redeemed by applying the blood of the Passover lamb. They were made right with God by that. Andy Woods makes a great observation. And again, I'm saying to you, this was before the law. Andy Woods says this: the Mosaic law was not given to redeem a people, but rather the law was given to a redeemed people. That's worth it, remembering. It's so powerful. The law wasn't given to redeem a people. That's not why the law was given. Many people get that mixed up. You know, there are those that are practicing or striving to practice the law today. And they'll take parts of it that fit, something I can do, and their righteousness is going to be based on that. Boy, they need to read Galatians. They need to listen to this sermon and the one before and the one before. They're deceived. So in Christ, I want you to know we're no longer condemned. Why? Because sin's penalty was laid on Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He was cursed for our sake, forsaken and smitten of men. Notice what we read, and Paul quotes again out of Deuteronomy, out of the Word, Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death and he's put to death, you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. Now, Jesus wasn't accursed by God, but he was seen by many as cursed because of the cross, where he suffered the kind of death that those individuals who had committed great crimes would be hanged and paid the penalty for. He hung there for all the world to see. But he's cursed. It says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Why did Jesus go to the cross? Verse 14 tells us, "In order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So we're no longer condemned, and we have the blessings of Abraham. What are those? What is he talking about? He's talking about salvation there. That's what he's talking about. Salvation has come to all who would believe the seed, through what the seed is on, Jesus Christ, and they are blessed with Abraham the believer. Now, it finishes with the Spirit of God here. It says, "so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now, we have the Spirit of God through faith in Christ that comes to us. He comes to us immediately and dwells us when we trust Jesus. And Jesus promised the Spirit would come. John 16, 7, "But I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Man, are we blessed. We have the Spirit of God in us to lead us. He indwells us. He convicts us of sin. He teaches us. What a beautiful ministry that is. It's so fun for me to watch an individual come to faith in Christ and watch them grow and see the Spirit of God take truth and help them to understand. He teaches us. He seals us for all eternity. We are His. He owns us. He places us in the body of Christ, all things. If you want to know more of those, go to our YouTube channel. Click on Bark River Bible Church. Pastor Wes is in his 17th, 27th, how many lessons? On the Spirit of God. 17. Today we're talking about Spirit baptism. Last week, 2 weeks ago as well. Oh, we're really blessed. Are we not blessed? You have the cursed, you have the blessed. You're one of those people. What determines that? It's what you do with Christ. What are you relying on for righteousness before God? If it's you've come to faith in Christ, you're relying on Him, you received the gift of eternal life, you are blessed. If you're in this audience online and you're thinking, well, you know, if I can just live up and kind of refine myself, not going to do as much of that, whatever, and I'm working my way there, you have no hope. Condemned. All in the same boat. I thought about this. We had VBS, and I was so pleased with VBS this year because it wasn't my year to have the kids throw water on me. So what we do is we have a little contest. We have something where we're going to give. This year we gave Bibles and raised money. Their offering would go toward Bibles. You have the boys against girls. Whoever wins get to douse the pastor with water. So all these kids, they gather. Somebody sits in a chair. This year it was Pastor Wes, which I was happy for him. He sat in a chair out on the lawn, and all these kids get cold, ice-cold water, and they gather around. And something happens to those beautiful little kids in that moment. I remember last year I was telling one little guy, I said, you wouldn't throw that on your pastor, would you? He's like this far away. He's like, yes, I would. So these young guys are all gathered around there, you know. And there are three, four bodies deep. Pastor Wes is in the middle, and I don't know, somebody gave the shout, and they all doused him with water. But you know what happened to all those guys? Some friendly fire. Two of my grandsons stepped out. I'm soaked from head to toe. Hey, that's just like sin, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory. We're all in the same boat. And yet God says to us, I have something for you. I can dry you out. I can save your soul. Here's my son, Jesus. If you will trust him, you come just as you are. If you'll trust him, he'll give you eternal life. I was so taken back with this song we sang, Save My Soul. I hope you guys listen to the lyrics of these songs we sing. So beautiful. You, my God, has saved my soul. I'm yours forevermore. I won't be moved of this, I'm sure. You are my God and you saved my soul. I was lost when you came for me, held in chains by the enemy, but you broke them in victory. Now I'm free. I am free. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. He came to set the captives free. He wants to save your soul today. A couple things I want you to take away from here. Those in Christ are blessed, having been set free by faith through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Set free. In Christ, we're blessed. We've been set free. The apostle said something like this in Galatians 2:20. He says about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is amazing to think about. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, this persecutor of the church, this man who held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen, the first martyr, the follower of Christ. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Jesus came for him. Paul said this of Jesus, he loved me and gave himself up for me. And all those believers in Galatia could read that and say, that's true of me. Jesus loved me and gave himself up for me. He paid my sin debt. And you know, those first century Christians, if they could say it, we can say it too. He loved me and gave himself up for me. In Christ, we are blessed, having been set free by faith, redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're set free. What do we do with it? Well, here's what we do with it. We need to be about winning others to faith in Jesus one at a time, as fast as you can. One at a time. One at a time. You know someone. I know someone. We need to be about influencing others to a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You may be here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You know about him. You know about religion. You've been a part of a church. You've done this or that. But you've never came to the point where you've realized, I have nothing to offer. I'm a sinner. I'm condemned before God. He is offering, listen, he is offering eternal life to you. Make a choice to trust in Jesus and you'll be saved. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You're not too far gone at all. If he could save Paul, he can save you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's be about his business. Let's pray. Loving Father, I pray that you will move in our hearts to understand that there are those in Christ and there are those that are outside of Christ, and that you would give us a passion, Father, for those who are in a place where we once were. And you'd give us boldness just to share what you've done for us with them. And Father, I pray you'll empower your people as only you can in through your Spirit to boldly, graciously proclaim there's a Savior who wants to save you. His name is Jesus. We would ask your blessing on your people as they go. And it is the name of the one who died, rose again, never to die again, we pray. Jesus, our soon coming King. Amen. Lord bless you guys.